श्री शुक उवाच तेन कारजम अमृत अमंत्रिया भोला भगेन वासुकी हरिविया गुरो गिरो तस्मिन् नेत्रम अवधिम मुदंजता हरिभिरे सुराजता अमृतारते कुरु द्वहा। Shukadev Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, Maharaj Parikshit, the demigods and demons summoned Vasuki, king of the serpents, requesting him to come and promising to give him a share of the nectar. They coiled Vasuki around Mandara Mountain as a churning rope, and with great pleasure they endeavored to produce nectar by churning the ocean of milk.
Hari purasthaj jagre purvandevastito bhavan.
The personality of Godhead, Ajitak, grasped the front portion of the snake and then the demigods follows.
Tannaichandaitya patayo mahapurusha chaistitam nagrinimo vayam bhutcham aher angam amangalam svadhyaya srutu sambhana prakyata janma karma bhi.
The leaders of the demons thought it unwise to hold the tail, the inauspicious portion of the snake. Instead, they wanted to hold the front, which had been taken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the demigods, because that portion was auspicious and glorious. Thus the demons, on the plea that they were all highly advanced students of Vedic knowledge and were all famous for their birth and activities, protested that they wanted to hold the front of the snake. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The demons thought that the front of the snake was auspicious and that catching hold of that portion would be more chivalrous. Moreover, Daityas must always do the opposite of the demigods. That is their nature. We have actually seen this in relation to our Krishna consciousness movement. We are advocating cow protection and encouraging people to drink more milk and eat palatable preparations made of milk. But the demons, just to protest such proposals, are claiming that they are advanced in scientific knowledge, as described here by the words Sudhyaya Sruta Sampana. They say that according to the scientific way, they have discovered that milk is dangerous and that the beef obtained by killing cows is very nutritious. This difference of opinion will always continue. Indeed, as it has existed since days of yore. Millions of years ago, there was the same competition. The demons, as a result of their so-called Vedic study, preferred to hold the side of the snake near the mouth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead thought it wise to catch hold of the dangerous part of the snake and allow the demons to hold the tail, which was not so dangerous. But because of a competitive desire, demons thought it wise to hold the snake near the mouth. If the demigods were going to drink poison, the demons would resolve, why should we not share the poison and die gloriously by drinking it? In regard to the words Svadhyaya Sruta Sampana Prakrityatha Janma Karma Bhi, another question may be arised. If one is actually educated in Vedic knowledge, is famous for performing prescribed activities, and has been born in a great aristocratic family, why should he be called a demon? The answer is that one may be highly educated and may have been born in an aristocratic family, but if he is godless, if he does not listen to the instructions of God, then he is a demon. Then there are many examples in history of men like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and Kamsa, who were well educated, who were born in aristocratic families, and who were very powerful and chivalrous in fighting, but who, because of deriding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, were called rakshasas or demons. One may be very well educated, but if he has no sense of Krishna consciousness, no obedience to the Supreme Lord, he is a demon. That is described by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Namam diskrita nora mudha prapadyante naratama.
Mayaya Purita Jnana Asuram Bhavamashita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Asuram Bhavam refers to not accepting the existence of God or the transcendental instructions of the personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Gita clearly consists of transcendental instructions imparted directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But asuras, instead of accepting these instructions directly, make commentaries according to their own whimsical ways and mislead everyone without profit even for themselves. One should therefore be very careful of demoniac, godless persons. According to the words of Lord Krishna, even if a godless demon is very well educated, he must be considered a mudha, naradhama, mari maya parita jnan. Translation: the leaders of the demons thought it unwise to hold the tail, the inauspicious portion of the snake. Instead, they wanted the front, which had been taken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the demigods, because that portion was auspicious and glorious. Thus the demons, on the plea that they were all highly advanced students of Vedic knowledge, were all famous for their birth and activities. They protested that they wanted to hold the front of the snake. Is compared to a mirror. Everything we see around us is a reflection of our own state of consciousness. Everyone sees the world through different eyes. One man's food is another man's poison. If one is envious in heart, one will see every living being as being envious. One will see how everyone must be also motivated by envy, just like himself. And therefore, such a person cannot trust with his heart anyone. If one's heart has been accumulated by volumes of lustful desires, then he sees that everyone must be motivated similarly. And if one has a very good and pure heart, it is very difficult for such a person to see anything bad in anyone. In his innocence, he is naturally seeing that everyone must also be like this. The extreme case is the heart of the Mahabhagavat, where such a person sees that everyone is serving Krishna better than him. So we must understand that everything we see is not necessarily how it is, but it is according to our particular consciousness. Srila Prabhupada used to use the example that if you are wearing yellow-colored glasses, everything you see is yellow. If you are wearing red-colored glasses or rose-colored glasses, everything you see will be of a rose color. If you are wearing the green-colored glasses, everything appears to be green. So the reality has nothing to do with any of these shades or colors. They are simply a reflection of what is within your own heart. So here we find the demons, how they are so suspicious because they are always crooked, because they are always motivated by their own sense gratification, because they are willing to cheat to lie, to steal for their own sense gratification. They're willing for the purpose of satisfying number one or one or oneself. They have no scruples or rules of morality. Therefore, they are thinking that everyone must be like them. Here we find Ajitta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, who is the best well-wishing friend of everyone. He is so kind to enter the arena of this great churning of the ocean of milk for the purpose of preserving what the demigods and the demons have and carrying what they lack. You see, the front portion of the snake is very, very dangerous. Is anyone afraid of the tail of a serpent? What can the tail do to you? But the front portion is very, very vicious, with its sharp fangs, its bifurcated tongue, and its very, very strongly poisonous venom. The front portion of the snake is the most deadly of all creatures on earth. Besides human beings, there's no creature on earth that kills more innocent beings than the serpent. In India, I once saw a study by the National Geographic. It said that the largest single cause of death in India was snake bites. And in many other countries in Southeast Asia, this is also true. Snakes are very, very dangerous because they're envious by nature. Any other animal will never kill unnecessarily. A lion, a tiger, they are not so dangerous because they will only kill if they genuinely feel that their life is being threatened to defend themselves. Or if they are hungry, and for the purpose of survival, they have no other alternative. Otherwise, they never kill. They are peaceful. But the snake, simply because they are envious, they will strike. Even when there is no danger, and even when they are not hungry, they will just strike for the sake of causing pain and death to another. Of course, there's only one other creature so envious as a snake, and that is a human being who has an envious mind. He will also, for no reason, save and except to satisfy his envy, engage in violent activities. So the snake and the envious human beings are the two most vicious creatures on earth. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ajita, knowing that this was a very, very important function to churn the ocean of milk, and knowing how dangerous the head of the snake was with its sharp teeth and its poison, he assumed the position of holding that very head himself just to relieve the others of the danger. So he was actually the well-wisher, the friend. But, as I say, an envious person feels that everyone must be also motivated by envy. A greedy person sees that everyone also must be motivated by greed. A doubtful person feels that everyone also must have doubt. So therefore, they were thinking
that why the Supreme Lord is taking the head of the snake, why the demigods are on that side. That means that the head is better than the tail. We want what you have, because we know that you would only accept that position if it's detrimental to us. You are only accepting that position because you know that will be the cause of our defeat. Because after all, we would only take a position if it meant your defeat. So therefore, you can only take a position if it's meant for our defeat. Therefore, they revolted. We will not have any part of this unless you give us the head, because we know the head is more advantageous. Otherwise, you would not accept it. So here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually acting in such a way to protect them, but they do not trust him. They are thinking that he is a cheater. If you are a cheater, you think everyone is a cheater. And in this world, basically everyone is a cheater. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this is the world of the cheaters and the cheated. He uses the example of how this world is going on. The example is that sometimes people think that if my daughter marries a sadhu, then she will produce very, very auspicious offspring, and our family dynasty will go on in a very, very wonderful manner. So therefore, when sadhus come to the house, the father arranges the beautiful daughter to serve him in such a way that he'll never want to leave, and he will want to marry her daughter. And in this way, they will have a first-class sadhu as a son-in-law. So in other words, they are trying to cheat the innocent sadhu. But the sadhus, the low-class men, who are crooks and criminals and of the lowest birth, they know that this is the plan. So they will disguise themselves as sadhus and go to very highly aristocratic people's houses. And the young girl, thinking him a sadhu, will treat him very nice, and he will say, "Yes, yes, yes, I will of course marry you, and I will give you all blessings." And in this way, the family gets a crook, a criminal, and a low-class, sinful man as a son-in-law. This is an example of how this world is the world of the cheaters and the cheated. And because everyone is essentially cheating us, trying to exploit us for sense gratification, people become very distrustful. Who can you really trust in this world? Who can you reveal your mind to without being cheated? Who can you put your faith in without being cheated? Our friends. Generally, they are our friends because they are enjoying some sense gratification by our association. Therefore, they're simply exploiting us for what they can get out of us. Our family members are generally the same way. When a father can no longer provide for the family, so often the family wants nothing to do with him. They simply criticize him. When a son is a rascal and is not fulfilling a rascal by the calculation of the family, he's not fulfilling their conception of what sense gratification is, then they are no longer kind to that son or daughter. And the people all around us, the whole society, they are simply, the politicians and so forth, they simply want our support for their sense gratification. How many are actually concerned with the people? Practically none. This is a world where everyone is simply trying to cheat us because everyone is motivated by satisfying themselves, their own senses, their own mind. Everyone is after their own prestige. And if you get in the way, you are discarded. Everyone is naturally motivated for themselves, for my family, for my nation. Therefore, trust is one of the most difficult and rare commodities within this entire world. Real trust. To actually be able to put your faith and your hope in the motivations of another. So, our Guru Maharaj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he used to again and again explain to us that if you want to make proper spiritual advancement, you simply have to accept within your heart that your spiritual master has not come to cheat you. Everyone else has come to cheat you. Even so-called people in the mode of goodness who are very pious, who are concerned with your physical and mental condition, by pampering so much and showing so much concern for your physical and mental condition, they are simply perpetuating your bodily conception of life. And they're cheating you of the opportunity of realization of the eternal self. And this is the best type of person in this world. Huh? How many people really care about your body and your mind? Most people are simply concerned with their body and their mind. And they'll care about yours as long as it's satisfying to them. But in the mode of goodness, somebody may actually and genuinely be concerned with your body and your mind and your welfare. But by doing this, they are cheating you of the opportunity of self-realization. Because they're perpetuating your bodily conception of life by putting your consciousness there. So factually, everybody but a genuine sadhu is a cheater. Because the truth is, as we have read this morning, that we are all part of Krishna, we are in Him, and we are His. And one who is honest is one who presents the truth. If one is not presenting the truth, whatever his motivation may be, even if he's a rare, rare soul who is not selfishly motivated, still he's cheating you because he is presenting to you a type of sympathy which is based on a lie, on an illusion, that I am this body. The truth is that we are all part of God. Therefore, only one who is trying through selfless compassion to elevate our consciousness to that conception, that person is a man of truth, and therefore that person actually is qualified to be trusted. He is a real friend. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. Krishna is the supreme friend. And one who is representing Krishna, he can be trusted because he is the representative of our true friend. So the demons, they are thinking that Krishna, Ajita, he must be thinking just like us. Therefore, they rejected the whole idea of taking part unless they could take what the demigods had. If we simply have faith that our spiritual master has not come to cheat us, but he has come to give us, out of compassion, truth and life, then with that trust, with that faith, we can advance, we can prosper in our spirituality. But without that faith, without that trust, it is very, very difficult. Therefore it is said, Yasya devi para bhaktir yata deve tata kuro tasyete katita hyarata prakashanti mahatmana. One who has implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, all revealed knowledge of the Vedas, is revealed to us from within our heart. But without faith in Guru and without faith in God and the scriptures, however much we study, however much we become scholarly in scriptural knowledge, however many austerities we may perform, the real truth will never be revealed from within our heart. Faith is the most important building block in the foundation of our spiritual advancement. It is said in the New Testament that faith can build, that can move mountains. And the business of cleaning our heart is the business of moving mountains and mountains and mountains of impurities outside from our life. There are mountains of pride and lust and envy and greed within us, and all those mountains must be moved out. It is only through faith that that is possible. Faith comes by hearing. Therefore, Shravanam is the first and most important of all the 9 processes of devotional service. There are 9 processes: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smarana Bandhanam, Pada Sevana Dasire, Pujana Saki Jana Atmanivedana. But unless one has faith in the other 8 processes, then they will have very little effect. Therefore, unless one is sufficiently hearing from the proper sources, one cannot perform any of the 9 processes of devotional service. Because if you are chanting, if you are remembering, if you are offering puja, but you are offering these services without faith, they will have very little effect. Therefore, the basis of our spiritual life is to hear from the sadhus the words of God, the words of the scriptures. And by regularly hearing, that faith awakens in our heart. How does faith awaken? It begins where we have to lose all faith in ourselves. This is a completely opposite conception of the materialistic psychiatrists and psychologists. They are very much concerned that people have a balanced and stable mind by having a high faith and esteem for their own position, for their own integrity. What we find in Bhagavad Gita, faith for his own esteem, his own opinion, he was not qualified to hear the word of God. Krishna simply sat silently listening to him ramble on and on and on. It wasn't until Arjuna came to that critical state where he lost all faith in himself. He lost all faith in all his high learning, in all his capabilities. He was trembling. He was pale white. His mouth was dry. He was shedding tears. To lose your pride is very painful. These are just the physical manifestations of what happens when a person loses all pride in himself. In that condition, he was able to open his heart with all humility and inquire submissively, Krishna, you please instruct me. I will do what you want. And it was at that time that he could hear. And through hearing from Krishna, real faith awakened within his heart. And by that faith, Arjuna was able to do what nobody else could do. Because he had faith in the words of Krishna. And he had faith that if I simply execute the desire of Krishna, then everything will be auspicious. He was able to conquer the entire Kuru dynasty. You see, when the spiritual master asks us to do something, we have to have faith that if I simply execute his order, it will be all auspicious. If we're thinking, but maybe I should not do this, maybe it's not the correct thing. After all, according to my logical study of what is best for me or what is best for the world, this doesn't make sense. So therefore, how can I put my heart into doing something like this? I will do something else. Well, I'll do it so slowly that sooner or later my Guru Maharaj will understand the truth and will change his mind, and there will not be so much of an effect, a bad effect, before too much damage is done. The devotee who actually has faith beyond material reason, such a person can be empowered by God. Srila Prabhupada would so often emphasize that in Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that the moon is more far away than the sun. And of course, so many devotees, they could not tolerate hearing this. According to all the scientific research, the sun is much farther than the moon. Now, factually, according to the Vedas, in the Surya Siddhanta, it is said that the sun is farther than the moon. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the moon is farther than the sun. And they are both perfectly correct. From the point of view of measuring in terms of latitude, the sun is farther. From the point of view of longitude, the moon is farther. It depends on what perspective you're looking at it. It's like if the earth is here, the sun is here, the moon is here. If you're looking from this point of view, the sun is farther. If you're looking from this point of view, the moon is farther. So Shukadev Goswami, he is not seeing the way we see. He's seeing from the point of view of God, who's seeing from above. He's seeing a completely different perspective than we are. So when Shukadev Goswami says like this, so many devotees are saying, what is going on here? How can we accept this scripture? All of our textbooks, all of our scientists, they are all saying something different. So devotees were leaving on this basis. Now all Srila Prabhupada had to do is just say, I'll forget it. But no, every opportunity he can, in dozens and dozens of purports where there's no need by any practical consideration, he keeps reminding us the moon is closer, is farther. Why did he do that? What does this really have to do with becoming Krishna conscious? At one point, devotees were complaining, but Prabhupada said, what difference does it make? Whether the moon is farther or the sun is farther, the problem of life is not that. The problem is birth, old age, disease, and death. Can the scientists solve that problem? But the sadhus and the scriptures can. So that is the real problem. But why did he emphasize it? It's not a problem at all. He emphasized it because he understood that the greatest impediment to spiritual advancement is to put more faith in the speculative reasoning of your own sense perception or the sense perception of others over the word of God, the word of the scriptures. We see through our ears, we do not see through our eyes. We see through the authority of God's words, because God's words are speaking of the absolute truth. But our sense perception Our mental and sensual perception of this world is all based on our limited, conditioned experience of an illusion that we have been conditioned to consider true since time immemorial. So what faith can you have in anything you think or see? So therefore, the first principle of knowledge is you have to lose all faith in yourself. And as soon as you lose all faith in yourself, then you can put complete faith in the Word of God. When I say losing faith in yourself, that means losing faith in your sense perception of what is reality. After all, if we were so knowledgeable to understand what is truth, then why are we in such illusion? Why are we suffering so much in this world? Why can we not solve our problems? Therefore, a devotee of the Lord has faith that the scriptures were not written to cheat us. The scriptures were spoken by God to enlighten us and to liberate us from all suffering. And the words of the bona fide sadhus who are representing the scriptures, who are living embodiments of the scriptures, they have not come to cheat us. They are simply coming to give. Give us liberation from all the problems, all the sufferings, all the turmoils of life. And if we have this faith, we can open our hearts to accept the mercy of God. But if you do not have that faith, you cannot fully open your heart. Therefore, you cannot accept the mercy of the Lord. So, doubt is a demon. Arjuna declares in Bhagavad Gita that the greatest demon is doubt. Krishna himself said in Gita that for the doubting soul there can be no happiness either in this world or the next. And Arjuna approaches Krishna as Madhusudan. Krishna, you are the killer of great demons. Well, the greatest demon is this doubt within my heart. Please kill this demon of doubt. And through his words, Krishna killed that demon of doubt. Similarly, through the words of Krishna, which are coming down through disciplic succession, through the mouths of the great saints, they have the potency to kill the demons of doubt within our heart. As long as we are haunted by these demons of doubt, we cannot open up the doors to our heart to allow Krishna to come in, to allow his mercy to enter. Doubt is like a watchdog at our heart. And whenever the mercy of Krishna is coming through the words of the Guru, the sadhus, and the Shastra, this demon of doubt is always barking, ruff, 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 chasing it away. And all we hear in our heart is the barking of this demonic dog of doubt. So we have to allow Krishna to kill this demon of doubt. Only then can our door open to receive the mercy of God. So here we see how the demons, their best friend and well-wisher, they're doubting him because they're thinking Krishna must be like us. We're only considering what's best for ourselves at the cost of anyone else's life. Therefore, everyone must be like this. A suspicious person is even suspicious of the most compassionate and loving person. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, I only see faults in others because I am honeycombed by 100,000 faults within my own heart. Shishupal saw faults in Krishna. He could not stop chanting the faults of Krishna. because he was so full of faults. Even in the most purest form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could only see a reflection of his own faults within his own mind. So therefore, we should not... We should not fall prey to this great trap of Maya. We should know that whatever faults we see in others are due to the faults within ourselves. If we were pure, we would see the purity in others. If we were divine, we would see the divinity in others. But if we are envious, we will only see the envy in others. If we are greedy, we will see the greed in others. Lord Jesus Christ said, before pointing out the little speck in another person's eye, you should take the tree out of your own eye. We are all very anxious to point out the faults in others, but no one is at all anxious to point out the faults within himself. And factually, the only faults are within ourselves. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavihastini sunichai vasupakecha pandita samatarashana. If you learn how to see God within your own heart, you will see God within the heart of everyone. But if all you see within your own heart is lust, anger, and greed, then you will simply see lust, anger, and greed in everyone's heart. Trivadam narakashidam dwaram nashatam atmana. Krishna says in Gita, kama krodas tathalobas tasmarita triyam tyajet. That there are three gates that lead to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. And every sane man must give them up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Whenever we find faults in others, whenever we doubt the pure words of the great souls, we are simply degrading our own souls. Therefore, these anarthas, these bad qualities, must be given up. How to give them up? We have to want to give them up. Everything is based on our desire. We have to look for the good in others. We have to look and pray for faith in Guru and Krishna. We have to accept those things which are favorable for the development of our faith and trust in God and His representatives, and we have to reject anything that is unfavorable for the development of our faith and trust in Krishna and His representatives. Material propaganda will always create distrust. Therefore, sadhu satsang, the association of saintly persons, who are constantly glorifying the names, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is most important, because by hearing from them, faith and trust is awakened within our heart, and these demoniac tendencies are destroyed. But by associating, by hearing from the propaganda of such demoniac persons, when we speak of demoniac, we're speaking of godless persons. Persons who have no faith and trust. Persons who are always suspicious because they're always on the base, their motivations are always selfishly motivated. They are in the bodily concept of life, which is a lie, which is an illusion. We must avoid submissively hearing from such sources. We must accept the position as an austerity of being the servant of the servant. As an austerity, we have to stop serving our own mind and our own senses and their dictations. And we must accept the divine words of higher authorities. through this process, we gradually cultivate faith. We gradually destroy the demon of doubt. Just yesterday, one person had a great crisis in his life. And this person was very much depressed. So the immediate thing that we try to do is find some material solution to pacify our mind and our heart, and find some material solution to make things right. That's what everyone is telling us we should do. But that's not a solution. Because even if you solve that immediate problem, what is the guarantee that tomorrow a worse crisis will not come in your life? And the time of death is the worst crisis imaginable. And you're simply day by day approaching that crisis. And what other crises come between, you do not know. But your life will simply be one big crisis in the end, and so many other crises between. So material arrangements never solve the problem. But if you have faith that if I surrender to Krishna, he will protect me. If you have faith that Krishna is the supreme controller, he is the supreme protector, and everything he does is perfect. If you have faith that if I turn to Krishna with humility, then he will do whatever is required to make my life all auspicious. However it appears to my mind or senses, it is all auspicious if I am sincerely trying to be his servant and the servant of his servant. If you have faith to be his servant and the servant of his servant, if you have that faith, what anxiety should you be in? You should know, guaranteed, that the supreme goal of life is yours in the end. Krishna says in Gita, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage to me. In this way, Krishna says, you will come to me without fail. I promise you this. You are my friend. God has promised we will come to him without fail if we simply endeavor to always think of him, become his devotee, offer homage unto him. Why should we doubt the word of God? As long as we know that we are sincerely trying to humbly follow the words of Krishna and Guru, whatever the crisis is, whatever the magnitude of our immediate suffering may be, we have infinite hope because we are sure, we are certain that God's promise will always be fulfilled. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us so many times, have faith in Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. There is no need for anxiety. Anxiety comes when there's lack of faith. Where there is faith, faith is like the sun. The darkness of all of these negative elements of material existence cannot remain. So let us put aside our faith in the illusory perceptions of our own mind and senses, and the mind and senses of others. And let us put our faith only in those who are purely and strictly repeating the word of God as it is coming down through disciplic succession. Let us chant the holy names with this faith and destroy the anartas, the unwanted conditionings within our own heart. And then we will see the good within all. When Krishna or his representatives come to help us, let us have faith and trust that they are our well-wishers. Srila Prabhupada would end every letter, "Your ever well-wisher." If we simply have faith that Prabhupada is our ever well-wisher, then there will be no impediments in our spiritual progress. And we are in the future verses, tomorrow and the next day, we will be reading about what the result is of the demon's doubts in the motivation of Krishna. Krishna was trying to help them, they did not trust. What the results of their distrust will be is a wonderful, fantastic story that we will start reading tomorrow. And a great lesson is to be learned. Is there any questions? Yes. By hearing from the right source, by hearing from God through the scriptures, through the lips of the great souls. If we hear regularly, Nasta Praishu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavati Sevaya, but we have to hear with a desire to hear. Huh? You have to hear like a hungry man taking his meal, not like a sleepy man. Huh? If you're sleeping during class, you're not hearing anything. But if you're anxious to hear, anxious to digest every drop of every word that's coming, Krishna reveals himself as you approach him. These words are non-different than him. They are transcendental sound vibration. And simply by hearing submissively with an eager heart these words, your faith will grow. But when you talk about faith being substantiated by the results, what does that mean? That means your faith is still based on sense perception. That is why, generally, great souls will not perform miracles. Because the foolish and unintelligent people, they have faith in seeing in someone who can perform miracles, so-called miracles. That means their sense perception is seeing that this person could do something extraordinary. Now, it's very difficult for such a person's faith to ever grow beyond a certain point, because he will always require some evidence based on sense perception to confirm whatever he has faith in. Huh? And ultimately, God cannot be perceived through sense perception. So therefore, generally, except on rare occasions, real acharyas, they do not perform miracles, but they preach the truth. Because if they can convince their followers to have faith on the word of God, then there is no limitation to how their faith can grow. But if your faith is based on seeing some miracle, your faith will always be limited to how much you can perceive with your senses. You'll always need reconfirmation through sense perception. Huh? Therefore, Lord Jesus performed so many miracles because he was preaching to a class of people who were so lowly and materialistic. But when he came to one town and he spoke and they required no miracles, he was most pleased with them. He said, these people are more intelligent. They have simply accepted the word of God without all these physical signs. So depending on the physical signs or the results will lead to a great impediment. Because ultimately, God is the realization of God is beyond any physical signs and beyond any results that you can perceive with your senses. Is he not? Atasri Krishna Navari Nabhavegrayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhehi Jivadau Swayam Evas Puratyada. You can never perceive God with your physical mind or senses. Only when your mind and senses become completely spiritualized and purified through devotional service can you perceive the Lord. Therefore, the highest quality of faith is based on hearing. It is developed by hearing, not by physical results or physical signs. Huh? So we should very, very attentively, with a submissive heart, approach the Word of God and those who are representing the Word of God and those scriptures which are representing the Word of God. Is there any other questions? Shyamananda, you are convinced? Srila Prabhupada, I remember one time the leaders of ISKCON were all together. And Srila Prabhupada looked at all of them, each one individually. This is years and years ago. This is in 1972. He looked at them and he said, are you convinced? Are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That by surrendering to Him, everything will be obtained? Are you convinced? And he said it with such intensity that you could not lie to him. And everyone was just looking, and they couldn't say yes, they couldn't say no. And he just looked piercingly at each and every devotee, right through his eyes into his soul, and asked, are you convinced? The devotees could not say yes or no. They were afraid to say no, and they could not honestly say yes. And then Srila Prabhupada said that if we are simply convinced with the amount of devotees that we have right now, we can take over the world in 18 days and establish Krishna consciousness as a supreme rule and order of the earth. But because you are not convinced of the words of your guru, therefore you cannot be empowered. Conviction, faith, is the foundation of our spiritual life. Because when a great soul piercingly asks you, you cannot lie. All you can say, you must reveal the truth of your heart. That we must be convinced. That conviction comes by hearing daily with a submissive and eager heart and by rendering service. You have to practice what you hear. The realization of that conviction takes place when you hear submissively and you apply it to your life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.